in just about 20 days from now, and I do believe it, I think it's exactly 20 days, the start of something magical that was taken away from us this time last year. And Nate and former Denver Bronco, Nate Jackson, filling in for Brandon Stokely today. I remember being on the air. We were literally on the air when the COVID announcements started to happen and they fell like dominoes. And I remember the gut punch that the reality of the situation started to come into focus when Duke pulled out of the NCAA tournament. The tournament was first postponed and then canceled. And it was just, I mean, you couldn't have foreseen it. And to discuss March Madness just a little bit further, ESPN's Joe Lunardi, bracketologist, joins us via the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. You think back to just a year ago when the sobering reality of the pandemic fully setting in for a lot of us as sports fans. Take us back to that day, Joe Lunardi, and what was it like for you?
I think the first thing you get, guys, and thank you for having me, with this much time since, 11 months and change, a little bit of perspective, right? There have been so many tragedies worldwide that, I think it's important for us to keep in mind somewhere that we kind of work in the toy department of life, if you will, and that's a blessing in so many ways. Having said that, I think it can also be true that for people in and around college basketball, obviously the players and their families and the coaches in particular, it was a gut punch, as you said. And, a lot of us kind of set our clocks to March, right? And and it's something that we really care about and derive great enjoyment in it. In some other cases, livelihood from the sport. That night, Wednesday the 11th of March, like you, I was on the air as well in the studio, moving teams on and off the bubble as we're wont to do at that point of Champ Week. And, the NBA thing happened with Rudy Gobert, and then the Nebraska coach, got sick at the Big Ten tournament, and they quarantined teams in their locker room. And, nobody knew what was going to happen, but we knew it wasn't going to be good. And by, late afternoon, Thursday the 12th, there was no tournament. The conference tournaments had all fallen apart. And by Friday the 13th, and how apt is that? By Friday the 13th, I had been in Connecticut doing my thing at the network, and I got on a train back home to Philadelphia where I live. And at that point, I just wanted to be with my family and hug my family.
Yeah.
Because none of us knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And, no. As sober as that sounds, just to make it a little less sobering, in those 48 hours while I was gone, my wife and daughter had come up with the great idea that, let's get a dog. And so I came home, to that. And, I still love them. But, the timing wasn't all that great.
Right. And Joe Lunardi of ESPN, bracketologist, of course, here to talk about March Madness and also his book, Bracketology, March Madness, College Basketball, and the Creation of a National Obsession. We'll get to that in just a minute. But I look at the landscape of college basketball right now. I am a huge, huge college basketball fan, a former player myself at a small Division II school in Albany, New York, and have just been obsessed with it forever. And the landscape right now is super unique, where you look at the top 25 and you don't see Duke. You don't see Kentucky. You don't see the University of North Carolina. It's unusual. And outside of Gonzaga, who's one of the better teams that I've seen in recent years, and maybe Baylor, it seems like anyone can get got on any particular night. Is that fair to say?
No question about it. and I have to ask which D2 school. I should know, but I don't.
Oh, no worries. You wouldn't know unless you had a connection to it, but it's the College of St. Rose in the Northeast 10, probably the best Division II conference.
I absolutely know about St. Rose.
Okay.
Absolutely. Now, having said that, when we say anybody can win, I didn't mean the College of St. Rose.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, we could be looking at a first four, not a final four, a first four, the play-in games of Duke, Carolina, Michigan State, and Indiana.
Crazy.
That's like, you'd have to think, oh my goodness, there must have been a worldwide pandemic for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, having said that, the teams at the very top are very good. And they are, at least by the metrics that I follow and keep, you know, further ahead of the field. Michigan, I throw in that group as well with Baylor and Gonzaga. If somebody gave you Baylor, Gonzaga, and Michigan or the field, you know, 9 times out of 10 in our sport, with all the upsets, you want to jump on the field. I'm not sure I feel that way right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it fair to say, real quick, I've been obsessed with Gonzaga this year, and I've always been a fan of their program for sure. But am I taking it too far, overstating it, that like this is one of the better teams that we've seen in recent memory? Where it seems like, I mean, the kid Jalen Suggs looks like a special player. Drew Timmy is so fun to watch. The Kispert kid, I mean, they are just totally, absolutely loaded. Am I overstating it that Gonzaga, who is unbeaten still, 23-0, is one of the great teams of recent memory?
No, I don't think you're overstating it at all. And I would argue even a little further that, you know, the times are different. We don't have teams with, you know, 5 seniors on them ever anymore. But in terms of style and the way they win, I'm old enough to remember the great UCLA teams.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically won by speeding you up and having a run and scoring 90 and daring you to catch them, because they were simply that talented. That's the way Gonzaga wins. Now, I'm not saying that Drew Timmy is Bill Walton,
mm-hmm,
because Bill might call me up and read me a new one. But the way they win and the way they're dominating the sport this year, I think, is worthy of the highest possible praise.
It's crazy. It feels like they score 100 and the
right.
It, like every single night, and the games are still the same amount of time. You got 2 20-minute halves. They scored 102 on Kansas. They scored 90 on Auburn. They scored, you know, almost 90 on West Virginia. They hung 99 on Iowa. I mean, these are really, really, really talented teams. It's crazy. I love watching them.
Yeah. So, you know, I get a little tired of the argument, well, they play in a bad league and blah, 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 blah. Well, number one, it's not a bad league. It would have sent 3 teams to the tournament last year and did the year before that, a lock for 2 this year, even in a pandemic, which has probably hurt West Coast basketball as much as any region of the country, particularly leagues that, you know, are based in the Bay Area. No, I think they're great. I think it would be great for the game if a non-Power 5 program won it all. But let's remember, you know, they don't play best of 7.
Right.
And in the NBA, the best teams make the finals because in a long series, talent rises. This is one game and 40 minutes. And, you know, maybe somebody turns an ankle. Maybe somebody, you know, wakes up with, I don't want to say the flu because that could be anything now. But
sure.
You know what I mean. Something nutty happens on a day. And it's only a 40-minute game, or somebody you never heard of on the other team makes 8 3-pointers. Like, these things happen in the tournament, and that's why it's so hard to win it. And it's also why we love to watch it.
That's right.
Right?
That's
if
right.
If the favorites were going to win all the time, we would do something else.
That's right.
I definitely have a soft spot, and I'm pulling for Mark Few and his program. And you know, he'll soft pedal it, but I talked to the Gonzaga people all year round, and they knew they were going to be great.
Yeah,
they did. They knew they were loaded, and they have played to it from day one.
They have, and I knew it too. I threw $50 on them to win the championship before the first game was played, so I'm pulling like crazy for them. Joe Lunardi of ESPN, let's talk about your book here before we let you go. Bracketology, March Madness, College Basketball, and the Creation of a National Obsession.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity, fellas. I'm certainly not taking credit for creating the National Obsession with college basketball, but you know, I've been approached a few other times in years past to maybe do a book. And frankly, I didn't really have the space in my professional life to take on a project like that and try to do it well. Frankly, I also didn't think anybody would care about a book about me. I wouldn't read a book about me. But, you know, I was eventually convinced that wrote it with a good guy by the name of David Smale out of Kansas City, who's done a lot of books. And I was convinced that it would be about the tournament and college basketball and the bracketology piece of all that, in kind of increasing the buzz around the game, if you will. And that made it a challenge and a fun project. And like, let's be honest, when the tournament fell apart last year, March, April, May, some of us had some extra time on our hands.
Yeah.
So it seemed if I was ever going to do this, it was time.
Well, I encourage people to check it out. Joe Lunardi of ESPN, we appreciate you coming by here, visiting with us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Can't wait for March Madness, under 3 weeks away. Appreciate your time here on a Friday.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, there he goes. Joe Lunardi, great stuff. Great stuff. Can't wait for March Madness, man. Cannot wait.